Yeah, we can start praising. Welcome those of us here and those of us online. If you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Majesty, and you can pick a hymn if you want to for later on. Type it in chat or pick it out of the hymn book here. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future. All fear is just because he lives, because I know he holds the future. Just because he lives, because he lives.
Amen.
Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Amen. Any other pick of hymns this evening? I'll Fly Away. That's a good one. I think it's 7079. It is. Turn right to it almost.
some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away.
Amen. Any others? All right, praise the Lord.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeremiah. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Everybody online with us, good to have you tonight. Everybody in here tonight, good to have you tonight in here. We'll start with praises. How about a praise for that cooler weather out there? Amen?
Yeah, man. It's like a northern.
Like a northern. Did it get 90? Yeah, I got 91 here. Wow. And the rain is coming. They keep teasing about that rain. I'm
rain on. How did it ever find you?
I don't know if it hit me right on the arm.
Really?
You was burning through by or something.
Cooler?
I have a Thanksgiving, and I guess a good word is praise.
Okay.
My younger daughter, Kyra by name.
What's her name?
Kyra, K-Y-R-A. All one word, rhymes with I, but put a K at the front of it, it's Kyra.
Kyra.
Ky, I, long I, Kyra.
Kyra.
K-Y-R-A.
Got it.
Kyra Christine. Anyway, she has two children, Clyde, Henry, he's my namesake. He's 4 and a half. No, I've got it wrong. He's 2 and a half, and his older sister's 4 and a half. Abby.
Abby.
Abby. So, anyway, they have kin folks up in Oklahoma City.
That's right.
And Kyra decided to drive up there a week ago to let them visit cousins.
Yeah,
and
cousins.
Just visit kin folks. Mm. And the truth of the matter is, as sometimes fathers are, I wasn't overly excited about the trip, and it's been on my mind for a week.
Yeah.
But the good word and the praise is that she noted this when she's getting ready to cross the Red River southbound, that they were on their way home, and they were going to try to get here sometime Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Well, they beat it. They got home about 3:30 yesterday afternoon.
All right.
So I am so thankful that they made it fine. No incidents, nothing wrong.
Traveling mercies.
Children, no sickness, no nothing on the road.
They bring no COVID back. Everybody's in cars.
Well, I hope not. But I'm thankful for that, and I just wanted to share the fact
Amen.
That God was good to Denise and me and our entire family by taking Kyra and Millie and Clyde to Oklahoma City and back safely.
All right. I'm safe. Okay, see. Home. All right, any other praises tonight? Ba, 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 ba. We got
praise the Lord. They got another good crowd over tonight. They won us.
Yeah, amen.
They're over there gearing up.
Won us crowd. That's good, good, good.
Amen.
All right, other praises. Anybody else?
He said praises. Okay, I got you.
We can do prayer requests now.
Unspoken.
All right.
We got the unspoken. Ronnie got one.
All right, for Aletha's ear, she had two shots already, so she got six more to go. But as of now, with the medicine, steroids, and all that, nothing better yet. But doctor says sometimes it just takes a few weeks or a month. And another prayer request. Is it Brazil had a flood on the news? Oh, yeah, okay. 8,000 deaths already, they estimate it. So, and that's just for now. Wow. So pray for them, and pray for our school.
Amen. 1,000 dead. Did we know how many died in the earthquake estimates?
Earthquake, I don't know. You know, John?
I just heard the flood, 8,000. I didn't hear anything about the...
Morocco had that earthquake last week.
Yeah, I don't know what the death toll... Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. We'll pray for that. What else? What else?
I told you earlier, Kathy's
uncle.
Uncle, yeah. Mike Shaw, right, and Betty Shaw, that's his wife. He had a fall, hit his head. He's like 80. Something years old, but he don't like he's going to make it, so he's got bleeding on the brain.
Where do they live in? Conroe.
Conroe.
They got a church.
They go, they watch it on TV and go to church every once in a while, so.
Yeah, is somebody checking on them from a church or something?
Yeah,
okay.
Aunt Linda, she's involved.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Aunt Linda, yeah, she'll be there.
All right. Kathy's Uncle Mike Shaw, 83, brain bleed. How far did he, was he on a ladder?
He just
fell in his house. Oh, bless his heart, yeah. Lost consciousness, yeah. Was it the front or the back of his head, do you know? Back of his head, yeah. That's tough, tough. Okay.
And I got my grandson, Wyatt. He has a little heart issue, but his is they're doing a little test on him. But, you know, he's been lifting weights and all that kind of stuff. And
which one is this?
Wyatt. And drinking all them energy drinks and drinking all that protein.
Oh.
And, you know,
yeah.
And that creatine.
Creatine.
And all that stuff.
No more.
No more of that. So he's 20. How old? 19. His muscles are going to start shrinking now. That's what he's going to eat.
All right.
Yeah, that's why he got big. Amen.
All right.
And that's good.
What else?
I don't know. She don't like the mic. She likes to speak. She don't like the mic. Hey, go ahead, girl.
I just want to lift up Melvin.
Yeah.
She's going to be having surgery next week. She has been having lots of stomach problems for about a month. She's been ignored it. But she's at the have patient.
So Madeline's having surgery?
Mm-hmm. So she's been throwing out lots of issues.
Oh, my soul. Oh.
So she's seen the surgeon today, but by the grace of God, when they did a CAT scan at the emergency room the other night, they found a mass on her spine.
Oh, my soul.
But according to the surgeon, he said right now he wants to get the gallbladder out, and then after that, he will sit her for an MRI and just make sure.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Mass on her spine.
Yeah.
So So they did confirm the gallbladder's bad?
Yeah.
Okay. On her spine. Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, she's still working.
Yeah, right.
Me and her may go round and round.
They're short nurses. I'm sure they're, yeah. Frank's got a hand up. We'll be lifting up Madeline.
Are you going to ask a question? Or?
Yeah. Always got a question.
The young lady that you're speaking of.
That's her daughter.
It's your daughter. Okay.
Yeah. Madeline Breyer.
I'd like to know.
She's how old? She's what, 20? 22. Yeah.
Thank you.
So a brand spanking new nurse.
Right.
Amen. Takes all kinds, don't it?
Amen.
Other prayer needs. Anybody else?
Oh, you lift up Ronnie Fackler.
Ronnie's?
Yeah, and John.
The Ronnie's and John.
Yeah, Ronnie and John. I know you already got them down. And my son, Kevin, just keep praying for him. And
Kevin, Paul.
And Paul and Steve and Stevie Fountain. Yes. And
That's a father and a son?
Huh? Yeah, that's father and son. And they both got a little problem. One drink, they both drank too much.
I hear you.
And Jacob. Jacob.
Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Anything else?
Anybody else? One more time. No more.
All right. We'll go to
We're going
to
lift up Lily. Lily's on the
list.
Oh,
yeah. Get Lily on the list. Yeah, amen, right. Brother. Lily.
How's your wife and her job? She still got looking for a job?
She's still trying to stay with that same company, but they've not said. She's still got till I want to say it's the end of November or the 1st of November her position's up.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting down to the wire. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Kind of be nice. Yeah. All right. Pray for our country. Seeing the news that they got those technology giants together talking about that AI. That's some not a whole lot of things that shake me up. But that AI kind of bothers me a little bit. Said it has the potentiality of affecting 300 million jobs worldwide. Artificial intelligence. So, yeah. So it's just kind of a weird time we're living in. And then when Putin and Kim Jong-un are palling around, cannot be good. So North Korea is going to fund Putin's war machine with their ammunition stockpiles. So that's going to continue the war over in Ukraine. So they're starting to, Russia cannot keep up with how many shells that they're actually shooting, overshelling the Ukrainians. So they're having to go fish for more ammunition. So Kim Jong-un is going to give it to them. So this thing, I think we will go to war in Ukraine. That's just my gut. I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're just buying time. That's all we're doing. Kind of like World War II. They just kind of bought time till they couldn't buy no more time, and then you had to send people. I think that's where we're at. So anyway, we got a lot to pray for. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of this day and what a glorious morning it was, just a little bit of cool Christmas in the air, dry air, Lord, felt good. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the rain that's fallen around the area. And Lord, we pray for continued blessings of showers on this area, on this parched land of Texas, and Lord, on this parched southwest of the country, Lord. We just pray that the floodgates of heaven would open up and we'd start to get some rain daily. And, Lord, we miss it. And Lord, we pray there'd be some rain come and just ruin our outdoor plans. We don't mind no more. So just send us that rain, Lord, and we'll just give you the praise and the glory for it. Lord, we lift up Frank's praise of his daughter Kyra, her travels from home to Oklahoma City and back. We thank you for the safety that you provided and the answer to that prayer that Frank lifted up for his family, Lord, and we just give you the praise and glory for that. Lord, we thank you for another good Awana's crowd next door. And Lord, we just pray that thing would build towards getting close to 30, maybe 40, 50 kids by Thanksgiving break. Lord, you know there's kids that need to hear this and there's families that need to be touched by it. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just kind of put it all together and just bring a good fruition, Lord, of sowing seeds of your word and sowing seeds of the gospel. And we know that's how faith transaction happens. We know how that faith is planted, Lord, through your word. And so, Father God, we just pray that that would happen. And thank you that we can be a part of that in that process and getting that going for people. And so, Lord, it's a great thing that we're a part of. We praise you for that. We lift up the unspokens to you tonight, Lord, those that have them online, those that have them here in our midst. Lord, we just pray that we just give these things over to you one more time tonight. Silently voice that unspoken request and just lay it down at your feet. Thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you that you're in control. And we praise you for hearing us another night. And Lord, we know you're working behind the scenes, so we just trust in that. We lift up Alita to you. We're praying for her hearing in this ear that she's struggling with, Lord. She's had some injections in it, got six more to go, taking all kinds of steroids and different things. Lord, we pray that the medicines and your touch and your Holy Spirit would begin to turn this situation around and bring that hearing back to that ear. And Lord, we lift her up to you and just pray a special touch upon her body. We lift up Libya to you tonight, Lord, and all these survivors of this flood and just the devastation of it. And Lord, we pray that you would provide for those folks and there would be plenty of relief coming in from all over the world. And yes, it's expensive and yes, it's costly, but Lord, we want to help our neighbors, and so they are. And so, Lord, I pray that some aid would get over there and help some people. And Lord, in the midst of all this loss, I pray that in the aftermath and the burials and the funerals and everything going on, Lord, I pray that there'd be a quiet witness, there'd be a strong, quiet witness of Christians in the midst of that, sowing seeds of the gospel. And Lord, out of this great loss, might you bring about some salvation of some souls and some people entering into the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, we pray you take those lemons and just make some incredible lemonade out of it. And then, Lord, as we think about this other tragedy in Morocco and this earthquake and some 6,000 lost there, probably more, Lord, we pray the same kind of prayer for them, aid, help, gospel saturation, seed sown, Lord, in the midst of all this pain and suffering. We pray that Christian organizations all over the world would just rise up and do the right thing, do what needs to be done over there. And then, Lord, as we continue on, we lift up our school next door, your school, New Hope Christian School. Lord, we pray your hand upon it, and we just pray you protect it. And, Lord, we just pray you help it this year, have a good year. And, Lord, we just pray for focus. We pray for good behavior. Lord, we just pray for your help as these educators try to educate these kids. So, Lord, help them, undergird them, give them that special anointing that they need to get it done. And then, Lord, as we think about Kathy's uncle, Mike Shaw, we pray for him tonight, and we pray for this situation, this brain bleed that they're not giving much, not much hope for. Lord, we know if it be thy will, you could bring that all back together. Lord, if it's not, we pray you just give Mike that comfort and that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we just pray you be with him as he goes through that valley of the shadow of death. Be with his wife. We pray for her comfort and pray for her help. And be with James's family and say, minister to them and try to encourage them and try to help them. We pray that you just be in the middle of that situation. Lord, we lift up Wyatt, Kathy and James's grandson with these heart issues. Lord, we pray that you would help him make those lifestyle changes and diet changes, Lord, tonight. Having these kind of side effects, Lord, we pray he'd be careful and he'd be cognizant of what he needs to do and how he needs to put stuff into his body. So, Lord, we lift Wyatt up to you tonight. And then, Lord, we lift up Madeline to you and this surgery that she's going to be having on her gallbladder, have that removed. And Lord, we're kind of a sovereign thing here. She goes in for gallbladder, and they find a mass on her spine. Lord, we pray that this mass be just nothing but something benign, and that, Lord, they're able to get it or drain it or whatever they need to do to it to remove it from her body. But Lord, we just pray your healing hand upon Madeline. She gets ready to go through the surgery and then gets ready to figure out what's going on with that mass inside of her, Lord. So we lift her up to you tonight, and Lord, we just pray for Marjorie and Buddy and their family as they go through this together. Pray you give them what they need, and Lord, just help them during this difficult time. And then, Lord, we lift up Ronnie to you. We pray for Ronnie Holman. We're praying for his healing, Lord, from this cancer. Pray you touch his body and bring him help. Be with Nancy, and Lord, as she cares for him, Lord, we just pray that this great couple, Lord, you would just help them and undergird them, get through what they got to go through with this stuff. So, Lord, we're praying for strength. We're praying for patience. We're praying for healing. Lord, we just pray and you do it for them, and we lift them up to you. And then for Ronnie Vaculik, Lord, we pray for his health as well. And, Lord, we pray you continue to keep him healthy, help him with his feet and in the ears and the pancreas, Lord. We pray for all that. Just pray a hedge of protection around him and for his health, that you bring healing to him. And then for Brother John, Lord, we pray for his health as well, his back, and Lord, his stamina as he just keeps continually pushing it physically. We just pray you give him that strength and give him that will, that want to keep going. But Lord, we pray you help him be smart when it comes to that back and things that he can get younger guys maybe to help out. So, Lord, we lift that up to you. And then, Lord, those that are struggling with addiction, we pray for Kevin, and we're lifting up Paul, and we're praying for this father and son, Steve and Stevie, and then Jacob, Lord. We're praying that they'd be able to break this sin pattern, that Lord, they would find some accountability partners, accountability group, Lord, whatever you want to call it, AA or anything, Lord, just something to get them off of this path and onto a different path. We pray you might deliver them before it's too late. Pray you might deliver them before they just really mess their bodies up. So, Lord, we're praying for a big intervention here. We're praying for a big change. Pray for deliverance, Lord. So we just lift these men up to you. Pray that you'd have your way with them. We continue to pray for Lily tonight. And, Lord, we're thankful for the less anxiety that she's got and the less struggle she's got at this new school. Still has some anxiety, but not near what it was at Tomball. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. And we pray you just help her continue on in her recovery. And we pray that one day in the future she'd be equipped up and knows all the strategies and knows how to handle it and knows when these things are coming and knows what to do. So, Lord, we just continue to pray for her. And then, Lord, as we think about our country, we pray in a hedge of protection around it. We're praying for our president, his cabinet, both houses of Congress, Lord, the Senate and the House. And, Lord, we're praying for a miracle in government. So, Lord, help us. We are thankful that we have freedom to preach. But, Lord, we've got so many things that need help in our country. You know what they are, from immigration to abortion to the deficit, to defense. Lord, there's just a lot. We just pray your hand continue to be on us. We know things would be awfully a lot worse if your hand was not. So we pray you continue to help us, Lord. And thank you for the churches across the land that continue to push the gospel ball. May we continue to keep on keeping on. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we pray for an open heart to receive what the Bible wants to tell us. It's in your name we pray, God's people said. Amen. All right, we are in Leviticus chapter 19. This is our last little ditty, last little Bible study, so to speak, on 19 before we move on to 20. And I wanted to cover this topic of tattoos. And so the title of the Bible study would be Tattoos or Not to Tattoo. Tattoos or not to tattoo, right? Now, as we think about it, everybody understand what tattoo is? You go in, you got this, I think it's a needle. It vibrates or something, and as it vibrates, it pierces the skin, and it puts ink underneath the skin, and it's pretty much a permanent thing unless you go and have it lasered. But the passage we're looking at is 19:28, and the Word of God reads this. It says, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Now, the reason for the prohibition of tattoos in this passage is not really stated. So how in the world do we find out what's going on here? Well, you got to do some research, you got to study the context, figure out what's going on in this chapter 19, right? And so after doing that and studying the time surrounding this passage, scholars tell us it's highly likely that tattooing was a pagan practice connected to idolatry and superstition. In other words, people that didn't worship Yahweh or the one true God, they would have their skin marked with the name of the false God. Or they would have a symbol of an idol put on their body somewhere, inked in, so to speak. Now, what did the study on Leviticus chapter 19 tell us about God's relationship with His people? Well, God did not suggest, nor did He merely ask. Rather, God demanded His relationship with His people, right? I mean, He demanded a relationship with His people. And He demanded that the people be like who? Yeah, be like Him. Amen, amen, right? And so, He demanded, in addition, that His children, His people, be different, right? Amen? So, as He reminded them in the same verse, He says, "I am the Lord." What was God saying to the Israelites? When He says that at the end of verse 19, He says, let me get back there, 1928, "I am the Lord." Tattoo marks on yourselves, "I am the Lord." What's He saying? What is God Almighty saying to the Israelites? Number one, He's saying that the Israelites belong to Him, all right? They're His people. Number two, He was saying they were His workmanship, right? He created them. He's created all of us, right? And thirdly, He's saying that they should not bear the name of a false god on their bodies. That should not be. Now, the question is this, and, you know, if we had Brother Ron here, I think Brother Ron's got some friends, and they really into the Mosaic Law. They're really into Old Testament law. I preach the Old Testament, but I don't live underneath the Mosaic Law. You say, "Preacher, why not?" Because Jesus, when He was on the cross, what did He say? "It's finished." Yeah. So are we as New Testament believers under the Mosaic Law? There are some Christians out there that think we are. I don't think we are. In fact, I would emphatically say we're not under the Mosaic Law. We're under a New Testament covenant, right? We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. Do you agree with that? Or understand that? Now, however, we can take from this command in 19:28 the principle that if a Christian chooses to get a tattoo, the choice for the tattoo should never be for superstitious reasons or to promote worldly or demonic philosophy. I mean, that would be wrong, right? You don't have to go to the Old Testament for that. That's just flat wrong. And so the bottom line is that getting a tattoo is not a sin per se. You say, what? Yeah, getting a tattoo, rather, is a matter of Christian freedom and should be guided by biblical principles rooted in love. Now, you don't have to look far. You don't have to search wide to know that tattoos are more popular than ever in many parts of the world today, especially right here at home, right here in America. The number of people with tattoos has increased dramatically in recent years. Tattoos are not just for delinquents or rebels anymore. The edginess of rebellion historically associated with tattoos is starting to wear off. You could say it has worn off. In other words, more and more people have them, which means more and more people are getting them. Well, preacher, are you going to show us yours? I don't have one. You say, well, you don't think it's a sin, but you don't have one. Just never been my thing, right? Never been my thing. I'm a freckled up dude. My skin is not attractive to begin with. I don't want to put anything on it to try to fake people out. Amen? And then I have to go to a dermatologist once a year, and I don't want to slow the dermatologist down and looking for the things he's got to freeze and cut off of me. So I just choose not mess him up. If there's a melanoma or some kind of skin cancer like Jimmy Buffett died from, I want him to be able to see that, no problemo. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Now, the New Testament does not say anything about. You read that New Testament through, you find something, you show it to me. But the New Testament does not say anything about whether or not a believer in Jesus Christ should get a tattoo. So let me put it to you this way. I cannot say, you can't coerce me, you can't bully me into saying, you can't threaten me. I just can't get to saying that having a tattoo or getting a tattoo is a sin. It ain't in there. It's not in the New Testament. So what's going on here, preacher? Well, because of Scripture's silence, because of its silence, getting inked falls under the category, and we've talked about it before, falls under the category of what you would call a gray area. And believers should follow their convictions, right? Their convictions in the matter. And guess what? You're going to follow your conviction, but you need to respect those convictions that are different from yours. And I think that's where the problem lies. I think that's where the struggle is. I've got a strong conviction on this. I've got a strong conviction on that. And you ought to come over to my side of it. Well, wait a minute now. Show me that verse where it says what you say. Well, you know, I really can't find nothing on that. Pastor Lee said it was gray, but I've got a conviction on it. All right, we'll stick with your conviction. I'm going to stick with mine. We can agree to have different convictions on the subject. Having a tattoo is not, we're not talking about the virgin birth here, right? Having a tattoo, we're not talking about the atonement of the blood of Christ here, all right? This should not be a thing that divides us one iota. Somebody say amen. Well, this question will come up. Well, Pastor, okay, it's gray area. Okay, I've got grandkids, I've got children. Can you give any direction from the Word of God concerning tattoos for New Testament Christians? Well, the answer is yes, I can. I can give you some instruction and some direction. Let me give you some general biblical principles that may apply to getting a tattoo. Number one, children are to honor and obey their parents. Would you agree with that? Amen. Ephesians 6, 1 and 3, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so for a minor who's living under the roof of his parents, right? And in other words, he's not an independent adult. In other words, he's depending upon somebody else for his sustenance, his shelter, and everything else. For a minor to get a tattoo in violation of his or her parents' wishes is biblically unsupportable. You can't support that. Tattoos born of rebellion are sinful. All right? They're sinful. But I've often wondered how many tattoos, back in the day now, my generation, were hastily sought, paid for, rushed into because of poor parenting skills. Somebody say amen? Or oh me? Yeah. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, let me read it to you in the NIV. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't agitate them. Exasperate them. Don't browbeat them. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It begs the question, doesn't it? It begs the question, what is the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Well, we don't have enough time for that. But let me give you this question. I would ask, where does the discipline and instruction of the Lord begin? And what is the motivation of this discipline and instruction? And I can answer that one pretty quick. It's unconditional love for our kids. Right? Unconditional love. Children need discipline, structure, but they also need unconditional love. Amen? Yeah. So, what are we talking about? Here's some general biblical principles that may apply to getting a tattoo. Children ought to honor and obey their parents. Number two is the principle of outward adornment. Outward adornment. Our external appearance is not as important as the development of the inner self and should not be the focus of a Christian. And you can tell I live that. Amen. You can tell Pastor Lee he's living that one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4 says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So a person who desires a tattoo to garner attention or draw admiration has a vain, selfish focus on self. Do you see that? You agree with that? Number three, we're talking about some biblical principles that may apply to getting a tattoo. Number three, God sees the heart. He sees our motivation. And for anything we should do, anything we do, we should do it, should be done for the glorification of God. Amen? A verse we mentioned Sunday morning, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen, church? Yeah? So, motivations for getting a tattoo, right? Motivations for getting a tattoo such as to fit in, stand out, fall short of the glory of God. The tattoo itself may not be a sin, but the motivation in getting it might be. See how? Yeah, it's difficult, right? Now, this fourth, some biblical principles that may apply to getting a tattoo, number four, our bodies, as well as our souls, have been redeemed and belong to who? Belong to God. The believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. So, how much modification of that temple is appropriate? Is there a line that should not be crossed? Is there a point at which the proliferation of tattoos on one's body ceases to be art and starts becoming sinful mutilation? Well, this should be a matter of individual reflection and honest prayer, because I'm not answering for yours, I'm answering for mine. I'll stand before the Lord one day. You'll stand before the Lord one day. We each going to have our one-on-one time, right? So, kind of what? Take care of you, right? Pray that others take care of themselves. Yes, yes? Amen? And so then we come to number five. We're Christ's ambassadors delivering God's message to the world. Got to think that through, right? We're going to put something on us. It's going to be there for the rest of our lives. It's going to be out in view. We got to think that through. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, what message does the tattoo send, right? And will it aid or detract from representing Christ and sharing the gospel? Now, we have a member in the church that back in their youth, they got a pretty hedonistic tattoo put on their side of their arm. But the way this church member explains it to me, he's able to use that as a witnessing tool to talk about his mistakes. You know, you can't get saved until you're what? Until you're a sinner. And you can't become a sinner until you what? Figure out what sin is. And there's nothing like having a real-life illustration right in front of you saying, I'm a sinner. See what I did here? This was completely wrong. And I wish I could take it back, but it's on there for life, right? You see what I'm talking about? What message does the tattoo send, and will it aid or detract from representing Christ and sharing the gospel? Now, number six is this one, and then we'll be done, is whatever does not come from faith is sin. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, you got a conviction that you feel like tattoos are okay on your body. Well, okay, friend. You better be gung-ho about it. It better line up with your faith if you're going to put it on your body. If you're kind of wishy-washy about it and you go get it, Romans tells us that your conscience condemns you, right? Because it wasn't of faith. Now, I'll close it out with this, and then we'll have a word of prayer. We, those of us that are unmarked, we don't have any ink on us, it's easy for us to sometimes be judgmental of people that do have ink on them. But I want you to think about it this way. There may be a few folks that followed all six of those guidelines we shared and talked about, and they really had a clear conscience when they got their Betty Boop tattoo or their, you know, Christian cross tattoo or their children's names tattooed into the body. They lined up with all six of those. They had a clear conscience. They went for it and they got it, and God bless them, right? But you talk to a lot of old heads, been in the military, old heads that grew up delinquent and running with the wrong crowd, and they've got tattoos on their arms and they're all faded out and everything. They're wearing their mistakes on their arms or on their back or on their legs or whatever. But our sin, you know, we have the, because we're all sinners, right? We're not wearing our sin on our sleeves, right? So when we see somebody that maybe, and we've got people that come in here on Sunday morning and they cover up. They've got tattoos on them. They cover them up, right? So, you know, they've got some angst about it, right? So, my advice to you or suggestion for you would be just be gracious, right? Because who in here would want somebody else with a list of our sins in black and white talking to us or talking about us, right? Hey, nobody would want that, amen? So you gotta live and let live, amen? Love, I'm telling you, love covers a multitude of sins. It really does. It takes all kinds, friend. And praise God, praise the Lord, it takes all kinds. Praise the Lord, God saves all kinds, right? Amen, amen? He loves all kinds, man. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so probably didn't answer your question. Not really. We're moving on to chapter 20. Amen. Preacher ain't got one, but the preacher don't care if you have one. And you're loved either way. James has a strong conviction on it. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, these gray areas are certainly sticky issues, Lord, and there are certainly folks on both sides of the gray. So, Lord, we just pray that love would be the unifier. And, Lord, we would have our convictions. But, Lord, we would allow others to have theirs as well. Thank you, Lord, for how you care for us and love us and what you want to do for us. And, Lord, you use all of us, no matter what we look like. You use all of us in spite of us. So we praise you and thank you for that. Thank you, God. Give us safety tonight. We do pray for rain. Pray you send it. It's your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right.